worth.
Now you.
Give me a minute to ready myself.
Christy began to take deep breaths, her breasts rising and falling as Ryan watched with interest. Her legs were slightly apart, a triangle of brilliant scarlet hair masking her sex. The muscles across the front of her thighs rippled and danced, and he could see the fluttering of her stomach. Her eyes were closed, and her lips moved. In the silence, he heard her whisper,
"Now, Mother Earth, give me, I beg, the power to do that which is right. Let me render no evil. Give your daughter the power. The power. The power."
The sound barely carried to Ryan, three paces away. He stared at her face, seeing it transformed into a mask of carved bone. The planes of her cheeks shifted by an almost unbearable tension. Christy stepped to the bar and bent in front of it, her tumbling hair hiding the weights for a moment. She gripped the bar with both hands and then straightened, hefting it above her head in a single flowing motion. Ryan's jaw dropped. He'd seen some amazing sights before, but nothing to compare with the way the 300-pound set of weights floated up like a balloon. There was no other word for it. Nor did the girl show any strain now that the deed was done. She held it above her head, her eyes half open, her mouth sagging, a thread of spittle hanging from the corner of her lips, almost as if she'd fallen into a trance.
"Thank you, Earth Mother."
She then let the weights fall to the floor. She staggered and nearly fell, putting her hand to her forehead. But before Ryan could help her, she had straightened, smiling.
"Christy, are you..."
"I'm fine. A bit tired. Always am. I shouldn't have done that. Showing off is not what the power's for."
"It looked like it was no heavier than a fistful of air."
"Pretty much."
"How much heavier could you have lifted?"
"The power of the Earth Mother isn't like that. It's what I want. If there were a buggy turned over on top of you, I could probably lift it, but I'm not entirely sure."
They stood in silence, looking at each other. Christy spoke first, eyes locked to Ryan's face.
"There. Now you know what sort of mutie I am."
"Yeah, now I know. But I think I knew before."
"So now what?"
He stepped close, lowering his head to kiss her softly on the lips, tasting her sweat, putting his arms around her, feeling the way she shuddered with the raw tension. Her breasts pushed insistently against his chest, and her hair rustled on his skin.
"Now, I want to get in that big damn bath and make love to you for the rest of the day."
"So it doesn't matter to you? Me being a mutie?"
"Not unless you use your Earth Mother power when I'm inside you and crush me to a pulp."
"Don't joke about it, Ryan."
"Sorry."
He looked hurt, so she kissed him again, her tongue snaking over his teeth. Her right hand crept down over his stomach, touching the curling tendrils of hair. His response was instantaneous.
"That's nice. Sticking out, not hanging out."
Christy led Ryan to the whirlpool bath. The water was still hot, and she pressed a violet-colored button to mix in some scented foam, making the exercise room smell like a meadow in summer. A square black button made the water churn and swirl. Great cascades of bubbles burst all around Ryan as he lowered himself cautiously into the bath.
"Nice?"
"Not bad."
He offered a hand to help her step in beside him. There was a ledge around the side of the bath, and they sat together on it, the water only a few inches over their laps. Christy, her back to him, lowered herself carefully into the water while he caressed her from behind.
"Oh, yes. Yes, Ryan, that's great."
Ryan reached around, feeling her nipples move against his palm. His right hand delved lower and deeper, under the water, between her parted thighs. He enjoyed hearing the girl moan. She leaned her head back, half turning and nipping at the skin of his shoulder, drawing a ruby bead of blood. Gasping, she removed his hand from between her legs, then gripped his rigidness and quickly guided it to her body. Christy had extraordinary control over all her muscles, tightening herself about him, squeezing him, bringing him toward a raging climax. Though he tried to hold back for her, the girl's skill was too much for Ryan, and he felt himself bursting. But he endured long enough to reach her own climax. All around them, the scented water continued to bubble noisily. Still sitting on his lap, Christy kissed him tenderly on the cheek.
That was good. Thanks, Ryan.
It was real good.
After a while, they finally got out, dripping water everywhere.
We should get some clean clothes, Ryan.
Yeah. Tomorrow, let's go to the store and find us some.
They dressed in their old gear, making sure their weapons were in place. Christy, ready before him, looked around the big exercise room, taking in the equipment and the mirrors. The bath was loudly draining.
Hey, look.
What is it?
That fucking spying old bastard.
She stooped to pick up a length of ragged green ribbon from the floor near the door. The kind of ribbon that Quint, the keeper of the redoubt, wore braided in his straggly gray beard. Bochka the Barrel, astride the largest horse in the party, turned to Ichichil.
How do the wolves survive?
They eat the weak.
And if there are no weak, brother?
Ichichil peered through the gap between his hood and the scarf around his nose and mouth, raising his voice so the others could hear him.
Then they eat each other, Bochka. And if we fall on evil times and must devour each other, I take the leader's right of roasting Bochka all for myself.
The ripple of laughter ran back along the column until it vanished in the murk of wind-blown snow. Since the raiders had left Ozhbarchik 2 days back, the weather had been deteriorating. 3 times Ochichil had ordered emergency shelters to be dug in the packed snow. They used the long-bladed saws that they carried for just such a purpose. It took less than 5 minutes to throw up a wall of large snow bricks 6 feet high to protect them all from the lethal wind. During the rare calms, Ochichil had gazed back, trying to spot any sign of pursuit. Away to the north, he could make out the smoke-tipped cone of one of the many new volcanoes that had appeared at the time of the wars. The snow around it was tinted gold from the sulfur fumes, and there was no sign of any living thing in that entire dreadful wilderness. Nothing except the huge mutated white bears that occasionally loomed from the blizzard, threatening the column. The bears and the wolves, lean gray shapes with slavering